Welcome to the Life of Faith North podcast, where you can access the latest sermon of the week and explore our archive of past messages. To access other resources or view live content, please visit us on YouTube at youtube.com/@Life of Faith North. We hope you will find this message encouraging and uplifting as you listen.
Guys, listen, I am so stinking proud, pleased, and tickled of each and every one of you guys. Just all the spirit that's been here this morning, what's been demonstrated. Many of you, if you only knew, and this is the thing, if you only knew people's backstory, then what you see makes so much more precious sense and love. So I just want to say, for Nick and Katie, you guys, awesome. Nick, what you shared this morning, son, that is strength of soul. Strength of soul isn't the absence of challenge, right? It's the willingness to overcome challenge, right? Many times in the church world, we think that faith means I have no problems, right? That faith means I live a life that's just flowery beds of ease, sunshine, rainbows, butterflies, amen. But no, faith is when the challenges of life come, my spirit and my soul rise together, right, and push that out of the way. So I'm so proud of you guys as your dad. Just so much, so pleased. So proud of Kevin, amen. So proud of Katie for calling Kevin. Didn't you like to see Katie calling Kevin out like that? Isn't that awesome? Amen. Well, I know Kevin may not like it, but Kevin did great, and I'm really, really pleased of that. And what I love most about that is hey, remember, it's your turn coming. It's your turn coming. We'll always get you ready, but it's your turn coming. Because, listen, it's not about one person. Amen. It's not about me, right? It's not about whoever the senior, quote-unquote, leader is. It's about us, right? And it's about the Spirit of God in us. Right, you've heard me say this before. I so trust the Holy Spirit that lives inside each and every one of you. But I also want you to know I so trust you. It's never just one or the other. Amen. I always trust God in you, but I also trust you. Amen. And I trust your heart. Amen. Does that make sense? So I had to just say that. Just so proud of our church family. Amen. Just excited to see how that gets bigger and better. Amen. Who's with me? How many of you want to see more of that? Amen. Praise God. So with that, I just want to share something, two things. So as we talk about this and all that happens this morning, you've heard me say this before. Remember, for every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. Have you ever thought about that before? On one side of the road of life is a set of people who believe that God is doing everything, right? And that's how they know it's spiritual, is that if it's God outside of everything and God somehow just sovereignly, mystically, magically shows up, and that's what they're looking for, right? You identify those people when they say things like, well, God, why haven't you done something yet? Anybody besides me ever said that before? God, why aren't you shown up yet? Why hasn't this changed yet? And that lets us know when we say that we're probably leaning towards a ditch over here where we're looking for God to do everything. But there's another ditch that's over here. And in church language, we call that legalism. The ditch that believes, well, it's all up to me. Like Kevin was saying, I got to pray enough, give enough, read my Bible enough, go to church enough, be a good boy, be a good girl. And my effort alone will move God, right? If I lean in that direction, I'm a legalist, right? I'm a Pharisee. But what God has always been after from the very creation of mankind is for us to live on the road called union. So that's what you guys did this morning, Nick and Kate. You worked together in union with God. See, strength of soul is my understanding and willingness to live in union with Him. Right? A weak-souled person looks for God to do everything. Right? Also, a weak-souled person believes they can do everything. But strength of soul is understanding union with God and living in a place, and I want you, where God wants to work together with you. Right? That's why Paul in the New Testament says we are co-laborers with Christ. Amen. It's why in the Garden of Eden it says Adam and Eve walked with God. It's why it says, I believe in the Old Testament, it says, and that's why when God desires to move, it says His eyes roam to and fro across the earth looking for a man or looking for a woman who will yield themselves to Him so that He can work with that person and do His will in the earth. So I want to make sure that we say that, because I know we've been talking this whole year so far, now almost 4 months, on strength of soul. But I want to make sure we understand we're never talking about working apart from God. Right? Strength of soul is not the absence of God. Strength of soul is actually the highest awareness of God, and I'm working with Him. Does that make sense? Audra shared this with me this morning, and it just fits so good with where we're headed. So we look at this triangle again, that the Holy Spirit, He's in the middle of everything. Because He's the part of God that's active and present here on the earth. But with Holy Spirit, there's some things. We have what's called our narrative. Did I spell that right, all my English people? I'm not the world's best speller. Amen, but it's all right. I went to Mrs. Ledbetter's Sped Redden course. And my Redden has improved wonderfully, right? And my mama used to write letters to me, but she'd say, I'm writing this letter real slow, son, because I know you can't read fast. Right? All right. But, so there's our narrative, right? There's all this soul, and I'm just going to call them our soul exercises that we're talking about. That's the list we've been covering. And just so y'all know, this last week I went ahead and made videos on all the lists. So if you'll look in the GroupMe, if you're there on GroupMe, you can find them. Otherwise, if you haven't seen that yet, I'll send them to you in a text. I want you to watch over those videos where I go in more detail about what the lists are, how I want us to use the list we're creating. But those are all just exercises of our soul. But then there's also this one over here that it's our community that we live and dwell in. And it's these three points that bring transformation into our life. Do y'all see that? The Holy Spirit working with us in any discipline of the soul that we do. He's working with us together. That's why I love this morning's service. Amen. That we worked together and brought strength of soul to place. I love what Nick and Katie shared in the testimony portion, how they worked together. Does that make sense? Everybody doing all right this morning? Because you're never going to change your life by yourself. Never. You're going to need God. You're going to need your willingness. And you're going to need good people. Amen. Hello, are you with me? If you really want to change your life, right, it says in Proverbs 18:1, it says, those who willingly and knowingly isolate themselves from people rage against all sound wisdom and judgment. Right? So I know as Americans, we watch them. I mean, Caleb and I, we've been watching stuff. Me and the boys have been watching Rambo. Anybody remember Rambo? Right? And how many of you like Rambo like it? Come on now, just be honest. You're a Rambo fan. I like Rambo. But, you know, there's some lies in Rambo that if we're not careful, will hurt us. And the biggest lie in Rambo is we're watching Rambo, what was it, 3 or whatever it was last night, and he's going to Afghanistan, and they're like, well, where's all the other people? And he goes, I'm by myself. And he does that kind of like drug-induced look that Sylvester Stallone used to look at, where he was kind of like Shaggy on Scooby-Doo. He wasn't quite all there. You know, but he was looking, and he was, because I'm Rambo. Rambo only works real good in the movies. In real life, if we try to Rambo ourselves, we die. Bad things happen in real life if we Rambo. Right? Why? Because we were never meant to live life alone. So you have to have a community for transformation. But then I love this one, the narrative piece, because this is going to play into where we're going today. Because there's two stories that we have to be careful that we're listening to. Right? On one side, let me change colors. Does this help? Am I drawing helping at all? I mean, has this been good? I hear a lot of good reports, so y'all let me know if you like my drawing. If you think, well, Brad, it can improve, then in the offering bucket you can put art classes for Pastor Brad, right? You know, and that kind of stuff. But you have to, so there's two. We have to be careful of our story, right? And his story. Because there's both at play with us. There's our story or my story, and there's his story. And strength of soul rests when we allow his story to become our history. You see, I did a little wordplay there. Is it all right if I catch that? So when we allow his story to become our history. So guys, listen, this is important for us to understand. There has to come a shift in our soul, our understanding, where I grew up. How many of you got a story? How many of you, if you're kind of like me, you look back over your story? You know what? And I have to be honest, my story wasn't terrible. Wasn't great. How many share stories like that with me? Now, some people look back, and you can write, how many of you, your story looked like a train wreck? And that's okay. You need to be, you can look back and go, yeah, my story, it was a disaster movie. Anybody remember the disaster movie? Anybody like disaster movies? You ever watch those? You know, you watch the, and it's just one thing after another, and many people, their story is like a disaster movie. Hey, and listen, and if that's your story where you came from, that's okay. Aren't you glad God's not interested in our story? He's only interested in his story. What hangs us up is when we continue to be in love with our story. Come on now. How many of you know when you have a good story that's a faith? Anybody got favorite family stories? Anybody? Not all of my kids are in here. Okay, all the Hollemans that are here, shout it out. What's your favorite dad story? Yep, Granddaddy and Uncle Ed. When in that story, my granddaddy, my dad's daddy, and his brother, Uncle Ed, they loved to fish. Except Uncle Ed was deathly afraid of snakes, so he kept a double-barrel shotgun in the boat, and it was called the snake gun. And the family story goes is they would normally do this, whatever river or creek they were fishing, they would take all the kids and they would put them off in like this field, and my dad and his cousins would all play, and Uncle Ed and Granddaddy would kind of float down this creek, river, and fish. And Daddy tells a story that, you know, they dropped them off and they're out there playing, and Uncle Ed and Granddaddy are floating down, and they get about 200-400 yards down the river, and they hear that double barrel shotgun go off. Boom! And then they hear my granddaddy start swearing and cussing and going. And then about 10 minutes later, they're walking up the creek. Now they went in a boat. And the story goes as they got down under some trees, and this big old snake fell in the bottom of the boat, and Uncle Ed grabbed that shotgun and emptied both barrels in the bottom of the boat. Amen. Anybody else got a good dad story? The shadow, my dad was a character. He grew up very affluent, but he liked poor stories. So he used to say that this is totally fabricated and untrue. that my daddy and his family, they were so poor that all they could afford was shadow gravy. And that's where you would tie a pork chop on a string and hang it over the table and swing it. And when the shadow of the pork chop would cross your plate, you would try to sop up the shadow gravy. Now, you know what makes those stories good? Is that we love to retell them.
Yeah.
How do you know you've got a favorite story? You tell it over and over. You get good at telling it. Like I did there. Listen, there's parts of your story you need to erase. And you need to stop telling your old story. Hello? I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. But we need to have some selective amnesia.
Yep.
Now again, please listen to me, because this is what gets our little cultural brain going. You are not denying yourself when you forget the parts of your story you need to forget.
Come on.
You are not damaging your soul. You are actually about to free your soul. Because many people don't realize that it's revisiting all of their story that is holding them in the past. And holding them perpetually in the consequences of the past. Whether they're your consequences or the consequences fostered upon you by somebody else. But what God wants you to do is He wants His story to become your history. Because that's exactly what happened when you accepted Jesus. When you were baptized into Christ, your story got erased. And you got baptized into His story. That's why people sit there and they say, "Well, Brad, what's your belief, Brad, on generational curses?" I said, "It's easy. I got a real simple doctrine of generational." See, my daddy, his name just happens to be God. He's my father. So therefore, whatever curse he's got, he has passed that on to me. And guess what? My daddy ain't got no curses. So you've got to let his story become your history. Because when I was born again, my story got wiped out. My story got erased by the blood of Jesus. Read Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. That's what Paul was talking about. Your old man, your old story was destroyed at the cross. It was nailed to that cross, and it was buried with a man named Jesus Christ. And when He rose up from the dead and you believed in Him, you were baptized into His story. Come on, guys. That's why you've heard me say it, and it's worth repeating. That's why you need to pay attention to your favorite Jesus story. How many of you have a favorite Jesus story? If you think about it, you go back over and you, man, I love that Jesus story. Now my question is, who are you in that story? Who are you in that story? See, all of us, and let's to be carefully, all of us normally begin with the person in the story. We're the woman caught in adultery. We're the woman at the well. We're the leper that day on the road. We're the madman of Gadara that was out of his mind in the tombs. All of us begin and we look and go, yep, that was me. I was that crazy guy in the tombs. Woo, praise God. Amen. And hey, and listen, at the beginning, that's okay for you to identify. But the real, you know why God put the Jesus stories in the Bible? So that you would identify with Jesus. See, the real person in the story that you're supposed to go, that's, is Jesus. And the reason why you like that story is it touches the area of Jesus that you are. See, my favorite Jesus story is at the end of Luke. Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Amen. And Jesus is messing with people. And I love that about Jesus. Jesus was just like me. He picked on people. So there is Jesus, and he shows up to two of his disciples on the road, and he goes, I'm just going to hide myself. So he puts on some kind of Holy Ghost Jesus disguise. He does. You read the story. And he's walking with them 7 miles. Walking with them on this road to a town called Emmaus. And they're talking, and Jesus then starts playing dumb. Well, what are y'all all upset about? And they go, well, haven't you heard? Well, who's Jesus? And they're like, well, where have you been? You've been living under a rock? He goes, well, I guess so. I don't know who you're talking. And it's Jesus. Come on, y'all. That is just too daggum funny. Right? And he's walking with these people. And then it says, and so Jesus begins in the prophets and in the law. And he shows his two disciples every area where the Messiah must have died. And again, they still know it's him. They just think they bumped into this dude that didn't watch CNN. Right? And they're walking down the road. And then it says they come. And then Jesus is still messing with them. So Jesus pretends he's going to go this way. And they start going, no, no, no. You need to come with us. And so Jesus goes with them. And they sit down at Captain D's. And they get the little 3-piece and some fries, right? And it says that Jesus goes and breaks the fish and takes off his disguise. And they recognize him. And he disappears. I love that. But I love what it says more. They said, and did not our heart burn within us when he opened to us the scriptures? God says, that verse and that story has marked my life. Amen. Why? Because that's who I am in him. That's who I've asked him to help me become. Lord, that I would be like you. And that I could walk with people and I could open up and put inside of them a burning for your word that they've never experienced before. Is it? That's why. Because that's my Jesus story. That's who I am. Why? Because I've been willing to let his story become my history. Does this make sense? Why? Why is this important? Because as we talk about will, right, you have to understand that what you remember is the fuel that strengthens your will. Did you hear me? What you and I choose to remember becomes the fuel that gives strength to our will, positive or negative. It's up to you. Come on. It's up to you to remember. How many of you have been with me and you've rehearsed, you've been like me, and you've rehearsed maybe an old story, one of your old stories, of something that you did or something that happened to you. Come on, who else has been? And you've noticed about yourself, and I'm just going to pick on something extravagant, right? Does that make sense? I'm not speaking to anybody. If it's accidental, it's probably just the Holy Ghost talking to you. So don't, just look straight ahead and you can go home and cry about it later, right? But if you remember an old sin, if you play what happened in those old moments with maybe some old sinful thing you used to do and you rehearse it, how many of you, all of a sudden you start noticing your will to go do that old thing starts getting some strength in it?
Yep.
Hello? You start thinking about that. You start going back. You start letting your brain go backwards and you start remembering the old you. Don't be shocked when all of a sudden the will to go do, to go feel like, to go whatever the old way starts getting real strong. Why? That's just how God made us to work. What I remember and what I fuel in my memory will give strength to my will, good or bad. Now let's look at that, because y'all look at me. So go to, let me just pop out, and this is rare for me. Let me just pop out some notes, because I did write some stuff down. So go with me. Let's look at this. Go to 2 Timothy. Everybody doing good this morning? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now notice this, verse 3, it says this. Paul says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing. Notice, I remember you in my prayers night and day. Today, the word for today is the word remembering. Right? Memory and remembering. So Paul says, I remember people. Amen. And these are good people. Amen. These are people Paul wants to be around. Does that make sense? Now, these are not people that are free from a past. These are not perfect people, but these are people that are dear. Right? Again, I said that before. The people that you choose to build community with, they'll help your remembering. Amen. It says this, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. Notice verse 5, he's talking to Timothy. And when I recall to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. He says that was first in your grandmother Lois and later was in your mother Eunice. And now I am persuaded is in you also. So notice that faith is remembered. Now again, I'm just going to speak one clarification that was spoken this morning. There is no such thing as blind faith. Faith is never blind. Hello? You got to know that. Now what we mean when we say that is I may not know exactly how it's all going to play out. I may not be able to sit there and say, well, it's first going to happen here, and then this part's going to happen here, and then this is going to happen, and then that's going to happen. Does that make sense? But faith is not blind. Amen. Faith is something, as love what Kevin said, faith is something that I saw before I saw it. Yep. It's something that I know before I know it. It's somewhere I've been before I go there. Does that mean? I love the story I got to tell. It's not my story, but I'm going to tell Brother Andrew's story. Brother Andrew Womack, who has now become a very much a mentor to Selena and I. I love the story when he talks about their facility out in Colorado that he believed God with and for. And he says he saw it in his mind before it was built. But what Brother Andrew said, he says literally he knew the building before they had, so when they were had just the floor down, there was nothing on the inside, he went in there with tape and he taped out where he knew all the walls would be. And he says, then while he was believing God and trusting God for the money to finish it, he says, I would walk through that place at night, but I would never cross a wall. Why? Because I saw it. And then finally, after it's all finished and completed, people were like, wow, isn't it amazing this to see that? And Brother Andrew would be like, yeah. And people were like, well, what do you mean? Yeah. This is amazing. He goes, well, I've seen this for years now. You're just seeing it for the first time. But I saw it. Come on, y'all. See, faith isn't blind. Faith is fueled by the imagination. Don't have time to preach that message, but it's in Hebrews. But what fuels that imagination is what I choose to remember. Amen. What fuels my strength of will as I believe God is what I choose to remember. Go to 2 Peter. Please. Don't sound so bossy, Brad. You don't talk to me. Everybody all right this morning? Yes. 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice this. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let me find it. And let's start in verse 12. Peter says this, "For this reason I will not be negligent to," what does it say? "Remind you." That's interesting, isn't it? That's verse 12, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Peter says, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things." So it sounds like Peter knew something about this. You know that's why him and Paul wrote the letters they wrote, is so that you and I would remember. Why? Because they knew that remembering was the source of strength of will. Remembering was the fuel for faith. Right? He says, "Though you know and are established in the truth," so these weren't ignorant people. Hey, remembering doesn't mean you're weak. Okay, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag early for time's sake, because some of y'all are looking sleepy. Everybody all right? Just watch it. Remembering is strength. See, many times in our culture now, we've been told, now again, this is a Bradology, a lie of the devil, "I shouldn't have to remember that." Anybody ever said that before? "I shouldn't have to remember that. I should just know." Right? "I shouldn't have to remember." Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good here. Y'all all right? And we've been told that this meant, oh, no. Remembering is the fountain of strength. Constantly remembering. Constantly. This is, again, I love to tell the story. It's woven in the David and Goliath story. If you go back and read it in Samuel. If you remember the story, you know, there's David, a young boy. He's out there door dashing for his dad. Right? He's out there. He's delivering some stuff. He's door dashing, taking stuff to his brothers, even though they were mean-spirited. Right? And they start having this conflict, you know, this family turmoil and all this kind of stuff. And David's like, "Man, I can't catch a break nowhere." But then David hears the Goliath, he hears the giant, he hears the challenge, and David's like, "What's all this?" And then David hears, "Hey, listen, the man who kills that giant, right, he's going to get a big sack of money, he's going to get a pretty girl from the king, and he ain't going to have to pay taxes ever again." Right? And David was like, "Well, sign me up." Money, girl, no taxes, like this idea. But you read, but David also knew something. David knew the power of remembering before you go kill a giant. Because David wanted to make sure. So he goes and he hears it once. And then it says, and he asked another guy, "Tell me one more time, what happens to the dude that kills that guy?" "Oh, you get a sack of gold. You get a pretty girl. Maybe they had like a pin. I don't know." You know, it was showing something. You know, he was there, and they was like, he was fueling his strength of will. Then he asked a third person, "So tell me one more time, what happens to the dude that kills this guy? He gets the gold. He gets the girl. He gets..." No taxes. There's no G for gold, girl. And anyway. Hello, are y'all with me? See, guys, listen, why? Because what I choose to remember fuels my strength of will. Because then you have to realize, because from where, as we said last week, and we'll just hit it, because my will creates then for me a new memory. And it inspires in me a new meaning. But if I remember the old stories fuel my will, and all they do is take me back to an old memory and an old meaning. And you remember that your memory and your meaning are what give you your internal identity. The reason why many people never escape their past is they refuse to stop remembering it. They refuse to say, I will not remember that anymore. Because we're told, well, that's just not being honest, Brad. That happened. Yep. Hey, listen, you can say, yep, that whatever happened. I'm going to tell our story just a little bit. Hey, guys, listen, for me to be her dad and the dad that she deserved, I had to forget the sin. I had to forget the evil and the wicked that I did. Because if I had allowed what I did with Audra's mother, what I did in my past that was wrong and hurtful and damaging to so many people, if I had stayed there, I could not be the father she deserved. Because I would have stayed stuck. One of the hardest things is we'd first met each other. And I wish I could say I was this smart. And I could write it all out for you nice and pretty. I've gotten smarter since then, praise God. Back then, I was growing. We had clarifying conversations. But back then, I remember, I just knew I didn't know how to explain it, but by the Spirit of God on the inside, when I was going to meet her for the first time, I knew that part of our initial conversation had to be, I am so sorry for what I did. I am so sorry that I was not there and you deserved for me to be there. Amen. And then I had to say, however, because of who I am now, because of what Jesus has done in me, I have no guilt. I have no shame. I have no condemnation. And I will not father you from the past. Because the father that created you in the past was broken and sinful and wicked. And the father you deserve is one that is righteous and holy and just. So to father you like you deserve, I have to father you from his story, not my story. Do you see this? See, for you to be who you are, you have to live from another timeline. You have to come from an alternate dimension. You are the best science fiction movie on the planet. Because Jesus jumped into your timeline, changed you, and created an alternate reality. A heavenly one. That may run parallel with your earthly reality, but you living from somewhere else.
Amen.
And you have got to accept that.
Amen.
Or you will stay trapped in the past. Does that make sense? Man, I don't know if this is good. I mean, it's like, what if Superman never discovered he was Superman? He'd just be Clark Kent. But when Superman discovered something about himself, and he went back to the... Remember that? I don't know. I mean, and he went back to the Fortress of Solitude. Still hate that because it's not true. But he went back and his father began to give him new memories. See, his father began to feed him his true story.
Amen.
This is who you are. This is where you come from. This is your story. What you lived from when you crash landed to whenever you discovered you were Superman, that was not real. So you need to forget that and live from somewhere else. How do I do that? I'll allow myself to remember new things. Does this make sense? We're still here in 2 Peter. He says, so I'm going to remind you. Yes, I think it is right. He says in verse 13 that as long as I am in this tent, which means this body, as long as I am alive, Peter says, as long as I'm walking around on this planet, I am here to stir you up. How? By reminding you. Have you ever heard a good preacher go, you got to stir yourself up? Ever heard about it before? And if you heard a real good preacher, they always like to use the chocolate milk analogy. You never heard the chocolate? Oh, I have failed you. I am so sorry. Now that's double failure right there. So here's it. So see, everybody ever had chocolate milk before? I'm talking about homemade chocolate milk. I'm not talking about that nasty, super sweet stuff that comes from the grocery store. That ain't chocolate milk. That's chocolate milk wannabe. No, I'm not even talking about the quick powder stuff. Come on now, don't mess me up. I'm talking about the Hershey's syrup kind. I'm talking about, come on now, y'all be honest now. I'm talking about high dollar chocolate milk. Right? You buy that real good Hershey syrup and you fill that glass up and you squirt that Hershey syrup in there. And I'm talking about not like when it was maybe a bad month for your folks. And if your mama was like my mama and we weren't making a lot of money that month, she was watching you squeeze that bottle. Right? And she was watching you going, stop right there, boy, that's too much. I'm talking about when it was a good month. And she just let you squeeze. And you got a good, come on, like a couple of inches off the bottom of that glass. Now, the thing about chocolate milk is you put the chocolate in there, but what you got to do? Why you got to stir it up? Because you got something in you that's got to get through you. You got something in you that's got to get into every part of you. See, you got something in your spirit that's thicker and richer and sweeter than 2 inches of Hershey syrup. But you got to get it into your soul. You got to get it into your thoughts. You got to get it into your will. You got to get it into your emotions. You got to get it into your life. How do you do? Well, Peter tells you, you stir it up. And the spoon that you stir with is your remembering. See, the spoon you stir the hidden treasure of the heart with. As Paul said, you have a treasure hidden in an earthen vessel. You stir up what's on the inside of you. Now, stirring it up ain't necessarily, in us Pentecostal folks, now come on, us charismaniacs, we thought stirring it up was whoop, 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 raise the roof, let's go, put your hands in the air, right? And let's get the organ going. Let's get the things moving and woo. And why? We're stirring up the whole. No, you ain't stirring up nothing but your emotions. According to the Bible, you ain't stirred nothing up until you have been reminded. Until you have remembered. So Peter says, so as long as I'm alive, I will stir you up by reminding you. Right? Knowing that shortly, Paul says, I must die and put off this body, just as our Lord Jesus showed. Now listen, guys. Now here's the thing. Am I doing all right this morning? You got to read how Peter died. And you're going to get a lot more out of this verse. Because see, Peter was prophesied to by Jesus. Right, and Peter, after Jesus is resurrected, right, and Jesus did that magical fish fry on the side of the lake, and Peter starts going after him, and Peter's making up for the three crows. Remember the three crows, and I deny you, and Peter's making up what's happening, and he comes up, and Jesus basically says, because Peter's like, Jesus, I'm a new man. I'm going to go anywhere. I'm going to do anything. I'm your boy. And Jesus says, well, good. You're going to die like me too. Peter was like, well, what about John? and Peter's like all of us. Peter's hoping John's story going to be worse than his. Because he's going to try to comfort himself. He wants John to go through a bigger, harder, rougher challenge than he's going to have to face. So he's like, well, tell me what's going to happen to John, right? If I'm going to be crucified, John was your best friend. Me and you, we weren't really that close. But like you and John were close. Right? And then Jesus says, it don't matter. And then you just got to love Jesus. He just picked on people. He messes with people. I'll just keep him alive till I come back. And Peter's like, well, fudge. Right? Are you with me? But listen, Peter's coming back to that. Jesus told him, you will die like I died. You will suffer like I suffered. That's how you will come home. But Peter knew a secret. See, he knew a secret that Jesus knew. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. He suffered the shame. See, because what happens is when you remember and you fuel your will, at the same time, you fuel your, how do you spell emotion? M-O-motion. Right? I need help, Miss Courtney. My dyslexia kicked in. Does that make sense? Some of y'all can get that on the way home too. Amen. Yes. See, when you remember, your memory will fuel your will. And when your will is fueled, your will fuel your emotions. But genuinely hyped up. Remember Jesus, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him. So guys, listen, I am not saying, please hear me, because this is going to cause people online to write all kinds of stuff. Hey, listen, was what Jesus suffered harsh? Was it painful? Was it excruciating? But apparently, there was a joy in him. Come on. He wasn't laying there going, why me, God? Why is this going? I don't understand. See, I think Jesus, through his sacrifice, was remembering the prophecies. Come on. He was remembering what was said before about him. He was remembering what that would do for us. He was remembering all that was promised for thousands of years. And his remembering fueled his will. So that he set his face like flint towards Jerusalem. So that he went to the garden that night and said, I will do what only I can do. And he gets up and that fueled, apparently, according to the writer, that fueled a joy on the inside of him. Now again, this is Brad's sanctified imagination. I think on the inside, Jesus was chuckling. In the midst of the pain. Right, come on, you got to imagine, in the midst of everything that was going on, Jesus also knew this. The devil ain't got no idea what's happening. Because that's what Paul said to the Corinthians. Paul said, if the devil had only have known what would have happened when he crucified the Lord of glory, Paul says, then the devil would have never touched Jesus. He would have just left him alone. But the devil is a dummy. Makes me want to swear. He's a dumb. He is a dummy. Right? And Jesus on the inside knew it. And he's there. And at the same time, he's thinking about you and me. And there's joy. I'm saving them. I'm destroying their sin. I've took care of their sickness. I took care of their mental illness. I took care of their poverty. And Jesus on the inside, he's happy. Why? Because there was a joy. Guys, listen to me. Do you see this? He remembered. It fueled his will. And it guided, it directed, It fueled his emotions. Hello? Come on. How many of you ever, you went back somewhere negative in the past? You went there in your mind. And surprise, surprise, not only, as we said before, not only did you all of a sudden find yourself wanting to go do that again, but those same old emotions showed up, right? Those emotions of guilt, shame, condemnation, whatever. Why? Because you remembered something. That's what Peter says. Listen, I know what Jesus said here. He says in verse 14, I know the time's coming. I'm going to do what Jesus, I am going to put off. And if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, I love Peter. Apparently that fueling got him going. And he goes, hey, listen, I'm not worthy to be crucified like him, so turn me upside down. And so it says in history, that's exactly what they did to Peter, is they crucified him upside down. Come on. What? And y'all look at me. I'd have been like, is there a quick way? You know, I mean, just head off. I mean, can you, I mean, electrocute me? I mean, you got something I can eat? Poison it? I mean, but Peter's like going, not, why? Because he's doing what he's, Peter's stirring himself up. Peter's remembering. Peter's fueling his will because he knows what Jesus said is coming. But he knows that if I'll remember and fuel my will, I'll create something inside of me that will sustain me in the day of adversity. Remember, this whole year we're talking about what sustains a man in the day of adversity. It's his strength of soul. This is what that looks like. Right? Now, everybody doing all right? Go to Psalm 78. We're going to land the plane here. Because y'all, the one list that I haven't covered in detail here, which I'm about to, that's one of our tools, is your God stories list. How many of you have got some God stories? Man, you have seen God show up in your life. I mean, if you're saved, everybody should be shaking your head yes. If you're saying, I ain't got none, let's get you saved today. But if Jesus has shown up in your life and you have believed in Him, that is the greatest God story of them all. So yeah, Psalm 78, we're going to look at this. Right? But you've got some God stories, y'all. And here's the good news, you're going to have even more. So what I want you to do is start writing them down. I want you to make a list of your God stories. As I've been thinking on this, and I have to apologize publicly to my children. Guys, listen, there's tons of stories I haven't even told you yet. Like the day the angel showed up in Jackson, Mississippi with Brother Hagin. Come on, y'all. There's stuff that your father has seen. Come on now. Listen. This is the list that has extra instructions. The other list I've told you are for you. They're for principle. Now, if you want to share them within the community, I invite you to. I just would be guarded with that. You want to make sure you share your list with people who are going to come alongside you with your list, who are not going to make fun of you in your list, who are not going to roll their eyes when you tell them your list. Does that make sense? But this is a list I want you to tell everybody. Especially your children. Does that make sense? Hey guys, and he's not bothering me at all. I love hearing him. He is awesome. Does that make sense? Again, one of my favorite stories on the video. You ain't never been interrupted by a baby. Till he walks up to the front of the church and pees on the altar. You talk about a showstopper. Right? Happened to me in Peru on our first... I'm preaching away, man. A great message. This little bitty dude toddles up to the front, whips it out and pees. Makes a big puddle right over there. Does that make sense? So babies don't bother me at all. Amen. Don't let them bother you either. Amen. But here's Psalm 78. This is what I'm talking about. Psalm 78, verse 1, it says this. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Notice what he says, verse 2. I, what? Will. This needs to be on your I will list. I will open my mouth in a story. I will utter dark or mysterious sayings of old, meaning things that happened in your past that maybe you forgot about. Amen. I would dare say, if we're all honest, we probably have more God stories we've forgotten about than we remember. Right? I'm going to encourage you to pray and say, Holy Spirit, remind me. Help me remember the God stories of my past. Things that through neglect I have forgotten. Right? But keeps going. Verse 3. Which we have heard and known. And what does the next phrase say? And our fathers have told us. Fathers, dads, and I'm speaking specifically to us. This psalm, it principally falls to us to tell these stories. It's actually one of our privileges to tell these stories. Right? I love this. Verse 4. We will not hide them. Notice, from their children. So now notice who's present. There's a granddad. There's his kids. And there's his kids' kids. Come on now. So these are stories we need to be telling often. And to multiple generations. Telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. And His strength and His wonderful works which He has done. So here's two categories. Where has God shown up strong in your life? And where has He done just a wonderful thing? Man, did I ever tell y'all about I suffered from kidney stones? Have I told y'all that story? Suffered from kidney stones for years. This is all right, if I just tell some stories, just let this know. I'm going to anyway, so you might as well just be happy about it. Okay. Amen. But I was a teenager, and God talked to me. I was about Sophia's age. I was 17, 18, 19. And the Holy Spirit just on the inside of me one day said, Brad, I need you to quit drinking soda. Now, I used to drink soda like most of us supposed to drink water. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. Amen. But I used to drink lots of soda. One day God said to me, He said, Brad, I need you to quit drinking soda. And I said, get thee behind me, Satan. Right? And I just disobeyed that and kept right on doing what I wanted to do. And I'm out at Bible college and I'm helping my best friend move. And I remember I grabbed a folding table and I kind of lifted it up to put it on top of his van. And right when I jerked that thing up, something right here went and popped. And on the inside, Holy Spirit said, I told you quit drinking that soda. Right? And it was the second time I had kidney stones because I'd had them before. Right? And that same pain, I knew instantly what it was. And I said, oh, Father, I am so sorry. And then I started doing, Lord, name it. And I started going, Jesus, amen. And he says, hey, listen, this is what I need you to do. You're going to go to the doctor. You're going to be just fine. You do what they say and you quit drinking soda. And I said, okay. And I did, and they gave me some wonderful medication. And I gave birth to a bouncing baby kidney stone. Amen. I think I even named it. And me and him were close, right? And so it went on, and God was faithful. But I stopped drinking the soda. Right? Well, now I'm in Mexico. Right now I'm down there, middle of the night one night, same pain shows up. Now I'd stopped drinking soda. But it was something else, same pain. I come up out of bed and I knew instantly, oh, this is another kidney stone. But the thing about Mexico is you went to the hospital at your own peril. Uh-huh. It's kind of like that Roach Motel. You might check in, but you probably won't check out. Right? So I'm now going, okay, God, what do I do? Now I go in the name of Jesus. And then on the inside, he says, I want you to get in the shower, take a hot shower, as hot as you can stand it. I don't know why this worked, but I said, okay. Jumped in that shower, and we had a hot water heater that worked straight from hell. I mean, you could scald chickens in that. And I turned that sucker on and got in there. And I'm just, is that hot? It's on me in the winter. And I'm just, thank you, Lord, thank you. And I felt something pop and release. And not to be too graphic, I went to the restroom in the shower. Everything came out. Pain went away. I went back to bed. Praise God. Why? Because He does some wonderful works. If you'll listen to Him. Listen to Him. He'll guide you. Remember, most of healing is about listening to the voice of God. Most people want to be rescued healing-wise from their disobedience. I'm going to say that one more time. Most people want to be rescued healing-wise from their disobedience. I'm going to let that settle in real good. All right, there's a whole lot of healing in doing what God tells you to do. Amen? But that's a God story, y'all. Come on. Amen. You need to tell your God stories. Let's keep going. And it says down here in verse 5, "For He established a testimony with Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." So your God stories must be told. It's a command. Guys, listen to me. I'm going to say a bold statement. I'm still walking it out. So y'all walk it with me and tell me how. I think there's a lot of children that walk away from God for a lack of hearing the story of their fathers. Yeah. That somehow as parents, we just think it's just going to happen automatically. When here we have a whole psalm where God says, you make sure you tell them. And I'm about to tell you why it's so important that you do tell them in just a second. But you tell your stories, right? It says here, verse 6, that the generation to come might know these stories to the children who would be born. Right? That means, hey guys, listen, I need my kids. If you're here and you're my children, I want you to tell my stories to your grandchildren because I probably won't be here to tell them. I need to. I need to record them. Put them down. Why? Because that's what Peter said to do. That I might remind you and stir you up through your remembering. Does that make sense? That it says that the children will be born, that they may, now notice this, that they may arise and declare them to their children. Come on, do you see this passing down? Do you know it's wonderful and we need to tell the Old Testament stories, the David and Goliath story like we did this morning, the Joshua and the Battle of Jericho story, right? Gideon and Samson, Paul. We need to tell these stories too, but you need to tell your stories. Why? But so that your generations know that the same God who did stuff back here, He's doing stuff now. That it hadn't stopped. Amen. Come on. Now notice verse 7. Why is this important? That they may set their hope in God. We could say it like this because it's one of these words, that they may set their soul in God. Like what Audra quoted Paul in Colossians, that they might set their mind on things above. Yeah. Why is it important? This is, because listen, this is one of the most important of all the lists if we want to pass along faith. Is to write out your God stories. To record your God stories. To tell your God stories. Why? Because according to God, the telling of your God story helps set your soul. Come on, if now I know everybody all right. How many of you, you're also like me, and a new challenge comes? I'm just to be transparent with the Holloman household, right? It's been some tough financial times over the last few. You've heard me say this a number of times. Right? Been some tough financial. And if I'm not careful, I'll get to being all worried and afraid and scared. But I've seen God for 20-something years. Again, and I forget to tell myself my own daggum story. Like the time when God tells Celine and I, hey, listen, you're going to go to mission school at Rhema. Did I ever tell y'all that story? We're there since 1999. I'm working on staff at Kenneth Hagin Ministries. I'm in the television department. Part of my job when I'm not on the road recording all these wonderful, marvelous Holy Ghost God stuff like angels showing up, right, and things happening is I'm in school. They're paying me to go to Bible school. I jokingly say I paid Rhema for 2 years. They paid me for 3 years. I got a better deal. Yep. Amen. But I'm there one day and I'm recording stuff in class and Miss Lynette Hagin gets up and she says, this next coming school year, we're going to start Rhema School of World Missions. And it happened to me the second time it happened to me. She said that and it literally, it's like that word came out of the screen I was watching and hit me in the head, except this time I caught it. And God said on the inside, that's one of the reasons why I had you stay so long. And you weren't supposed to go right after you graduated. So go this next year, right? And when you go this next year, at the end of that next year, I'll put you on the mission field, right? And I'm like, whoa, right? And they go, but there was a challenge. Third year program for us was different than the other two. The other two, we could make monthly payments. When you go to do third year, and again, this is like April. This starts in September. They said you got to have the whole $5,500 up front. Or we won't let you in. And like Kevin said, I quickly went to my little post-it note that had my bank account on it, and it was a lot less than $5,500. But God, well, that was for both of us. Right? And that's a whole other story on what Mama heard, because she wasn't even there that day, but heard the exact same thing. Come on, y'all. And before we walk through on September the 1st in the year 1999 in September, we walked in with $5,500 that miraculously came in. Guys, listen, there's a reason God tells us to remember, because the devil's going to try to get you to forget.
Amen.
Every time a new challenge turns up, he's going to present it by, man, you've never faced this before. Man, you've never gone through this before. Boy, you've never had this kind of challenge before. Boy, what you gonna do now? Easy. I'm gonna remember. Why? Because when I remember, I can set my hope. See, remembering is how you set the thermostat of your soul. Somebody better write that down. I've never thought of that before. But remembering is how you set the thermostat of your soul. Does that make sense? Y'all got a few more minutes in you. I'm not going to go too much. It says this. It says in verse 8, and not be. It says so that they may set their hope in God in verse 7, and not, what? Forget the works of God. See, the works of God can be forgotten. But keep His commands. So apparently remembering helps you keep the word God's told you to do. Man, there's so much in this we could spend a whole other Sunday and may need to. And may not be like their fathers. Right? So apparently remembering helps you avoid the mistakes of the past.
Yeah.
It says this, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Guys, listen, here's a startling, when I was reading this and thinking about us this week, holy moly, stubbornness and rebellion come from forgetting.
Wow.
So remembering helps you avoid rebellion. Right? Helps you, how do I quit being that stubborn old stiff-necked so-and-so? I remember. Come on now. Verse 8, a generation that did not set its heart aright. There it is again. Why did Israel fail? They forgot. They refused to remember. And if you read it, and I'm going to kind of end there. If you read this whole Psalm 78, it's the psalmist reminding Israel of their God stories. Why? Because he says, hey, listen, you can't set your soul aright without remembering. It says in verse 11, and forgot his works, his wondrous works that he had shown them, marvelous things that he did in the sight of their fathers. Hey, guys, listen to me, people. you write and record and tell your God story, it'll also keep your future generations from rebellion.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on. We don't have to live in this cycle of wash, rinse, repeat. Thanks for that thunderous silence. Kola, are you with me? You can actually avoid rebellion in your future generations simply by telling your God story today.
Amen.
This is Psalm 78. Again, fast forward, verse 32. It says, in spite of all this, all that God had done, they still sinned and did not believe His wondrous works. Therefore, their days were consumed in futility and their years in fear. You want to overcome purposelessness and fear? Remember your God story. Come on. It goes on down in verse 35. They remembered. It says, well, verse 34, but when he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. It says in verse 35, and they remembered that God was their rock. And you keep going, man, there's so much. Guys, listen, no, stop there. Remember. So guys, what are your God stories? I mean, can you even come and play something? So I want us to take just a minute or two, and I want you to get out your phone, your notebook, whatever you've been putting your lists on, and we're going to take a couple of minutes, and I want you to begin to write down just notes of your God stories. So can we do that real quick? As Kitty gets ready to play, what are your God stories? Can you begin to write down?
Thank you for listening to our Life of Faith North podcast. If you would like to partner with us by giving, please visit our Cash App page. This can be found at cash.app/$LOFNorth. We hope this message was encouraging to you today. Thanks again for listening, and have a blessed day.